Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Friday morning program. Our first article concerns the clothing trade by Graham Peebles. The interconnected environmental catastrophe is the result of a particular lifestyle, a materialistic way of life relentlessly promoted by mass media and governments throughout the industrialized world and beyond. Consuming stuff, most of which is unnecessary, is the key ingredient. Excess is championed, sufficiency scoffed at. Far from addressing needs, satisfying desire is the driving impulse. The object of desire changes with every new fad, of course. Discontent is thereby ensured. Unlimited consumerism maintained. This pattern of insatiable shopping is evident within the polluting world of fashion, perhaps more than any other sector. And when we should be buying less, more clothes are produced and sold year after year. Worldwide, almost 100 billion items of clothing are made annually, 400% more than 20 years ago, a third of which end up in landfill, increasing at a rate of 7% a year.
The global fashion industry is a major source of environmental contamination as well as human exploitation. Every item of clothing that is produced carries with it an environmental cost in terms of energy, water, chemicals, and land use. The choice of fabrics, natural or man-made, production methods, transportation, dyeing and printing, customer care, are all areas that cause pollution. According to the United Nations Climate Change, around 10% of global greenhouse gas emissions, GGEs for short, are churned out by the fashion industry due to its long supply chains and energy-intensive production. The industry consumes more energy than aviation and shipping combined.
In search of greater profits, most manufacturing is now undertaken in China and India, where labor costs are lower, coal-fired power plants predominate. GGEs are highest and, in many cases, employee rights are non-existent. By moving production to developing nations, Western companies outsource jobs along with their polluting and environmental impacts, threatening the health of local people. The U.S. Natural Resources Defense Council relates that textile factories in China, where over 50% of the world's clothing is now made, spew out around 3 billion tons of soot every year by burning coal, contaminating the air, leading to respiratory and heart disease. Textile mills are estimated to generate 20% of the world's industrial water pollution and use 20,000 chemicals, many of them carcinogenic. Textiles are the largest source of synthetic fibers in the oceans. Microplastics get into the water system every time garments are washed. The UK House of Commons Environmental Audit Committee on Fashion reports that a single 6 kg domestic wash has the potential to release as many as 700,000 fibres.
As well as textile production, the manufacture of leather goods has also largely been shipped to China, where most items are made, and India. Leather production is an intensely cruel and poisonous process. The animal welfare charity, PETA UK, reports that globally more than 1 billion animals are killed every year. Cows, calves, water buffalo, horses, lambs, goats and pigs, and in China, dogs and cats. Huge amounts of water are used in highly polluting tanneries. Most wastewater and solid waste, which is hides and skins, etc., are dumped into rivers, riverbeds or farmland, causing contamination of the water and land. In Kanpur, India, for instance, every day 50 million litres of highly toxic water is produced, 80% released untreated. The River Ganges receives most of it, holy it may be, clean it is not. The impact on human health is often fatal. Chronic conditions such as heart disease, tuberculosis, asthma, mental disabilities, skin discoloration are widespread among people living near leather factories, which are shipping almost all their production to industrialised countries.
Different fabrics have different levels and types of environmental impact. Synthetic fibres like polyester are made from crude oil, which is fossil fuel, producing much higher levels of GGEs compared with natural materials. Nature magazine states that a single polyester T-shirt has emissions of 5.5 kilograms of carbon dioxide compared with 2.1 kilogram of carbon dioxide for one made from cotton. But polyester can be recycled, although not indefinitely, is more stain resistant, can be washed in cold water and dries quickly. Conventional cotton, non-organic, which is used to make almost half of all the clothing, has its own environmental consequences. Cotton farming uses 3% of the world's arable land, causing deforestation and loss of biodiversity, and is responsible for 18% of all pesticides, 25% of insecticides. Some of these are highly toxic and dangerous to human health. Example, endosulfan, banned in many countries but widely used in India, is linked to several thousand deaths of cotton farmers and their families. Cotton is also a very thirsty crop. The World Wildlife Fund, WWF, estimates that 2,700 litres, which is 715 gallons of water, on average the amount one person drinks in 2.5 years, is used to make a single cotton T-shirt.
In regions where water is scarce, cotton production has an intensely damaging effect. In Kazakhstan, the Aral Sea, which was the fourth largest lake in the world, has all but dried up because the rivers which fed the lake were diverted by irrigation projects to supply cotton farmers. The disappearance of this great lake is a man-made environmental tragedy. Huge amounts of water are also used in the dyeing process. The World Resources Institute states that globally, 5 trillion litres, which is 1.3 trillion gallons of water, are used each year for fabric dyeing. Enough, they say, to fill 2 million Olympic-sized swimming pools.
The most polluting area of the apparel industry is fast fashion. Like all businesses, fashion is about profit. More profit is generated when people buy more clothing more often. In the 1980s, when any remaining constraints on neoliberalism were removed, fast fashion was introduced as a way of increasing the profits for clothing companies by making people buy more. The practice is now widespread among high street brands and has been picked up by designer labels.
Under the fast fashion umbrella, up to 50 cycles are produced every year. Prices are lower, turnarounds quick, and overproduction common. Items are poorly made and so cheap they are sometimes not even worn before being discarded, at best lasting a matter of weeks before being dumped in landfill. The fast fashion fad has increased consumerism and contributed to a throwaway mentality, leading to huge amounts of waste. It has done enormous environmental damage and should be stopped as a matter of urgency. If companies will not voluntarily halt fast fashion practices, governments should force them to do so. The global need is not for corporate profit, and the behaviour to be cultivated is not more consumerism. It is saving the planet and encouraging drastic reductions in consumerism.
Aware of the widespread and varied environmental destruction that fashion is causing, voices within the industry and beyond have been calling for action to change destructive practices for some time. In 1998, a group of organizations came together and under the umbrella of the United Nations Climate Change created the Fashion Industry Charter for Climate Action, or FISA. Launched at COP24 in Katowice, Poland in December 2018. The FISA commits signatories to reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 30% by 2030 and achieving zero emissions by 2050, to phasing out coal-fired boilers using climate-friendly, sustainable materials and low-carbon transport, among other measures. The list of 43 founding companies includes Adidas, Burberry, Esprit, Guess Gap, H&M, Kering, Levi's, Puma, PVH and Target. Associated NGOs have also pledged to support the initiative and encourage sustainable practices.
Creating sustainable fashion is a core theme of those working to reduce the catastrophic impact on the environment. This entails looking at production methods and water use, curtailing demand, moving from conventional to organic cotton and from virgin polyester to recycled polyethylene, terephthalate, is PET for short, and collecting and recycling unwanted garments. Sustainable fashion needs to be seen as part of sustainable lifestyles. This requires the promotion and adoption of what we might call sustainable values, principles that encourage expressions of social and environmental responsibility and cooperation, and ideals that promote simpler lifestyles. We need to consume less, to shop based on need only, and when we do shop or buy services, ensure we do so in an environmentally responsible manner. Repair clothes, buy good quality items that last longer, and recycle. Governments need to introduce public information policies aimed at making people aware of the environmental impact of living a certain way and introduce maintenance classes in schools. All product-based companies should be required to make easily accessible the full environmental impact of their products and methods, as well as the human cost, so people can make well-informed choices. Advertising has an important role to play in this. It needs to be closely regulated and reformed so that it gives out facts about products, not propaganda.
All aspects of life are interconnected. The environmental catastrophe cannot be faced without the socio-economic mayhem being addressed, social justice created, and ways of living inculcated that tend towards unity in all areas of life. If we are collectively to overcome the greatest challenge humanity has ever faced, environmental consideration need to be at the forefront of our daily lives. A shift in living is required to that based on meeting needs, cultivating right relationships with others and the natural world, and living harmlessly. The responsibility rests with all of us to live well and to pressurize our governments to act to halt the environmental catastrophe before it's too late.
So we would like next to read you an article that also concerns the climate and planetary changes. It's from the Save Our Planet section of the magazine. People are waking up, Share International frequently asserts. In recent weeks, have witnessed this awakening in the UK as elsewhere on climate change. It is long overdue. For 11 days in April 2019, including over the Easter weekend, the activist group, titled Extinction Rebellion, waged a civil disobedience campaign in central London, placing potted trees along Waterloo Bridge, parking a pink boat in the centre of the popular shopping district of Oxford Circus, setting up a tent camp in Hyde Park with a stage for music and speeches, and blocking traffic with their occupation in five crucial areas of the city. A campaign leader said, We're not just being dramatic talking about a human extinction. That's the path we're on. In terms of organisation, they have learned from previous civil disobedience movements. They have no leader, working instead in autonomous affinity groups, and have banned drugs and alcohol. The demonstrations have been peaceful, with a great deal of humour, and involved people of all ages and backgrounds.
All the same, traffic was log-jammed and nearly 1,000 arrests were made for unlawful obstruction. The occupations angered some people whose daily business around the capital was disrupted, but the protests quickly made a considerable impact on the public and political opinion. Everyone in Parliament, the media and on the streets now seemed to be talking about the climate crisis. These protests coincided with the worldwide school strikes inspired by the Swedish teenager Greta Thunberg, who has now become an international figure. She visited the London Extinction Rebellion protest and also met with the leading UK politicians at the House of Parliament. At the same time, a powerful BBC television documentary, Climate Change, The Facts, by the renowned 93-year-old broadcaster and naturalist Sir David Attenborough, was broadcast highlighting the ecological peril. Attenborough said, "Young people have clear sight. They can perhaps see more clearly than the rest of us. We older ones should take notice. Extinction Rebellion says that the planetary situation is more dangerous than the Second World War. And some local authorities in the UK, including London, have already declared a climate emergency."
The UK opposition Labour Party made history on 1 May 2019 by tabling a parliamentary motion calling for a national climate and ecological emergency to be declared, and it was accepted by the House of Commons. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn said, "We have no time to waste. We are living in a climate crisis that will spiral dangerously out of control unless we take rapid and dramatic action now. This is no longer about a distant future. We are talking about nothing less than the irreversible destruction of the environment within the lifetimes of members. Young people know this. They have the most to lose. A few weeks ago, like many other members on both sides of the House, I was deeply moved to see the streets outside Parliament filled with colour and the noise of children chanting, 'Our planet, our future.' For someone of my generation, it was inspiring but also humbling that children felt that they had to leave school to teach us adults a lesson. The truth is that they are ahead of the politicians on this, the most important issue of our time."
The legacy of our political leaders will stand or fall by what they do now. As a London church vicar in Hampstead, London, said, "The damage we do to ourselves and our world is damage done in one way or another to everyone." And so ends our program for today. And if you have a question or want more information, you can contact us at share-international.org or email sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. Have a nice day.